Welcome to Not Over, Just Different. I'm your host, Natalie Ledwell, founder of Mind Movies, the ultimate personal development tool to visualize and achieve your greatest life. This podcast is for women who are looking for inspiration and guidance as they navigate the changes that come through moving through the various stages of life, or for anyone asking themselves, who do I want to be? Now, on this transformational show, I'll be talking to inspiring people from all walks of life about their stories of how they faced and overcame life's challenges in powerful ways. These are raw, candid conversations, often not shared until now. We'll be discussing topics like health, relationships, life's transitions, aging gracefully, and learning to see life from a fresh new perspective. We explore what it means to continually grow and evolve as your world changes and live a fulfilling life. As well, we'll provide you with amazing tools and resources to help you move through change with courage and resilience. So if you're ready to take the plunge and start your journey to becoming your most powerful, authentic self, then join me, Natalie Ledwell, on Not Over, Just Different, for insightful conversations about how to tackle life's new chapter. Well, hello everyone and welcome to the podcast for this week. This week, we're going to be talking about the vibe of money. You know, when I think of money, you know, I think of it as an energy. And I think for some people that is quite a esoteric kind of a viewpoint to have about money. And so I have my girlfriend Jackie Woodside here for us to have this conversation to kind of, you know, enlighten us on this subject. So, darling, how are you this week? How are you?
Oh, Natalie, it's so good to be here with you. I'm a little jet lagged because I just got back from the West Coast. I'm getting back into my work week, and what a great way to get back into things, but to spend some time with you. So I'm happy, I'm excited, and I love this topic of talking about the vibe of money. So yeah, I'm all good.
I just got back from New Orleans, so I am also like you.
Jet lagged also in the opposite directions. Yeah.
Now, the reason I have you here is not just we're talking about the money vibe situation, but we're also going to be talking about the summit that you have coming up as well. And, you know, money is one of these things that we all seem to have some kind of limiting belief, some kind of program, you know, something that kind of keeps us in this holding pattern in our life. It seems to be elusive for a lot of people, and it seems to be, you know, we can manifest things in a whole bunch of different areas in our life, but when it comes to money, it's like, what's going on, you know? Why don't we talk a little – well, let's describe what you perceive as the vibe of money.
Sure. Thanks for asking. I think that's important for us to kind of get into. So we have a relationship with everything, right? We have a relationship with our best friend. We have a relationship with our colleagues that we work with. We have a relationship with our family or our spouse. We have a relationship with fitness. We have a relationship with food and diet and nutrition, right? So now that I'm getting into more esoteric things, I'd be like, oh yeah. Like, so some people have a relationship with fitness, like, oh, you know, like, oh my God, I got to get to the gym. And other people have a relationship with fitness, like, oh my God, it's time for me to go for my run. I'm like so excited and I can't wait to get to the gym or, you know, whatever. So, and that's that, what I just kind of caricatured there is the vibe. Right. So, so now that we've kind of painted that picture, let's add money. You have a relationship. We all have a relationship with money. So the question is your relationship with money more like a good friend that gives you that kind of warm feeling of I'm looking forward to this engagement and seeing you next time? Or is it more of a feeling of I have a relationship with an adversary and, oh God, what's coming next? And I'm not sure how this is going to go. Because it is that, if you will, vibratory pattern that we hold. And how I describe that, your vibratory pattern is the sum total of your beliefs, emotions, attitudes and thoughts. So BEAT, beliefs, emotions, attitudes and thoughts. Your beat creates your vibe about money and about everything else. It's your consciousness. And it's your consciousness that is creative. So while you can, you know, work really hard and do all the right things, if your beliefs, emotions, attitudes and thoughts are, if you will, repellent about money, you'll do all the right things and still have really difficult outcomes.
Right.
Whereas somebody who has a high money vibe, meaning that their beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts create an attractive pattern that says to the universe, I like you. In fact, I love you. Why don't you come over? Why don't we hang out? Why don't I get to know you a little bit better? You know, that kind of a warm, welcoming, embracing, expansive. In fact, I teach this piece in one of my courses, the Money Vibe course, the 5E formula for financial freedom. The 5 E's are excited, enthusiastic, engaged, expectancy, and the energy. So it's the energy of enthusiasm, excitement, and expectancy and expansiveness. So that's the vibe that creates having this flow or having a more positive relationship with money. When you have a more positive relationship with something, you generally have better outcomes.
Right. I know I have another girlfriend of mine who spends a lot of time, you know, teaching women how to manage their money. And she's like, you know, you've got to look at money and look at the relationship that you have.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, like, would you treat your partner the way that you treat money? Like,
or think about your partner or feel about your partner the way that you think and feel about money.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's not enough. You know, I also wrote a book on time and I have a course on productivity. And I often find that people have a very similar relationship with time and money. Mm. So, because it stems from your kind of fundamental consciousness. So when you are living in scarcity, consciousness, lack, insufficiency, it tends to spill over into this feeling of not having enough time, not having enough money.
Right.
Now, I know it's not just a feeling. People are like, screw you, Jackie. It's not just I feel that way. I really don't have time. Yeah. I really don't have money. I get it. And that won't turn around. You won't have the capacity to alter that unless you can alter the beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts first.
Yeah. And I think the way you start and understand what your beat is by being cognizant of the language that you use when you talk about money or time.
Absolutely.
Like if you're always saying, I never have enough time, I don't have enough time, I've got to, you know, well, then you will never have enough time if that's right. The case, right? And if you're talking about money, like if you, and I think it's not just what you say, your language around it, but how you feel.
How
like
you feel.
If you have a bill come in or something come in or, you know, your credit card statement and you have this feeling of dread of opening it, then, you know, this is the time to look at how do you change that relationship.
Absolutely. Every time my spouse and I, every time we stretch, you know, to the next thing that we think like, oh, I don't know, this is a little bit of a stretch, we always end up on top. It always works out. So now, you know, 23 years into our marriage, we can look at that and say, well, every time we've done it before, it's always worked out. So having that experience, and you've got to start somewhere, you know, it wasn't always that way. You know, some of our first stretches were like, you know, big renovation on our home. And then we bought a second home and then we bought a third home. And, you know, and that third home, I was like, ugh, you know, really, do we really want to do this? I don't want one more thing to take care of. And then my spouse just looked at me and was like, hey, it always works out. What could go wrong here? So, and that has actually been the case. I'm super glad that we have it. There are two cottages right next door to each other. So we have a cottage and a guest cottage up in the Thousand Islands in upstate New York.
Yeah. And one of the E's that you talk about is expectation, which I think, again, is such an important ingredient when it comes to creating anything in our life. You know, if we expect that things will always turn out and that's the language that we use around it, then that's what happens. And I have found myself all the time saying, you know, everything always works out for us. You know, and even with my partner, I'm like, because he goes, he started to say everything works out for us. I go, because that's how we roll, baby.
Exactly right. I love that. That's how we roll. And exactly right. When you have that expectancy, things work out for us, or life is always unfolding according to our good. That's one of the affirmations that I use from Romans 8:28. It's a Bible verse. All things work together for good. So I've just turned that into an affirmation. Things always work together for my good. So that is our belief and our expectation. And when you carry that into your experiences, it's amazing how things work out. But most people, Natalie, who aren't trained in how to manage your inner world of consciousness, our default is waiting for the next shoe to drop, right, or now what's going to happen, or things just don't go my way, I can't catch a break. Like that kind of expectation, and maybe based on some difficulties in life. I certainly was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I literally have gone from homeless to multiple seven figures. So having gone through, you know, I was raised, my mom was widowed when I was 2 years old, left with a high school education and three kids to raise. So I definitely, you know, did not come from means, you know, had to work my way through college and graduate school. College, I was on a basketball scholarship, plus I worked two full-time jobs and went to school. Graduate school, I worked awake overnights in a residential group home. So I know what it's like to be in that really difficult space. And when I realized, as you know, I kind of kept going through life and kept like struggling financially and struggling, I realized I was the common denominator.
Right.
And I started studying and understanding energy and consciousness and recognized that if I didn't change my vibrational pattern, which is simply the result, the energy, the vibe of my beliefs, emotions, attitudes, and thoughts, if I didn't change my vibe, I would never change my experience.
Right. And so what are some practical things that, you know, we can do to change our vibe?
Yeah, I think the first thing, you know, everything begins with awareness. You said this already. So begin with awareness. So, you know, I personally love any kind of journaling process. So for people to do kind of a meditative journaling, free association journaling about their relationship with money, you know, so that first of all, you know, you could do an exercise I teach called clearing exercises. You write an affirmation like money is everywhere and I can easily direct it into my life. Okay, write that affirmation or any money affirmation. And then on the other side of the page, doing a vertical line down the middle, on the other side of the page, write all of the things that come up to your mind when that's what the affirmation is. Money's everywhere and I can easily direct it into my life. That's bullshit. I can't direct money into my life. I wish I could. That's for people who are successful. Maybe if I were more of an entrepreneur, blah, 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 blah. You know, all of this stuff. So doing any kind of a journaling exercise allows you to really get present to the relationship you do have with money. And for most people, it's in the survival and stress range of consciousness. Either just getting by or I'm getting by, but my God, it's so hard. Okay, so those are kind of the two lower levels of consciousness that I teach about. Survival is like, oh, you know, I'm just getting by, I can't make it, and just screw it. It's somebody else's fault. I'm just sitting this one out. It's too hard. Or stress, which is like, okay, I'm getting by, but it's really hard, you know, and it's exhausting.
Yeah.
So most people are living in that realm of consciousness. So the first thing is to get aware of, you know, kind of your relationship with money. Second thing that you can do, and I love teaching this process, is you can actually have a dialogue with money in writing or in meditation, because money is an energy field. And when you tap into the energy of money, it will give you all kinds of guidance and direction of what you need to heal, of where you need to think differently, and even of what advice and direction that you can get, that you can receive, advice and direction to receive from the energy of money that will help you make more prudent decisions financially.
Wow. I hadn't even thought of that before, because that makes a lot of sense. I mean, we can get guidance when we ask, but asking money for the guidance is like, okay, that's something that's new.
Right. It's just an energy. You know, just like people can channel the energy of people who have passed over to the other side.
Right.
So you can channel energies all the time, and people just don't think to actually pass that on or correlate that to money. Another thing I think is very practical to help people deepen their awareness and do some healing work around money is to write a financial autobiography.
Now, we talk quite a bit about navigating relationships on this show, so I want to talk to you all about one relationship in particular, and that's your relationship with money. If financial knowledge is keeping you from living a larger, better, and wealthier life, and you're ready to fix your relationship with money, not to mention make more of it, then download your free copy of How to Create Your Future. It's an ebook designed to teach you the 8 secrets that they never teach you in school to turn your dreams into a living, breathing reality. So simply go to notoverjustdifferent.com/moneybook and get ready to flip the coin on making money.
And really look at, like, what was your first memory about money? What do you first remember thinking and saying about money? How did you early on in your life relate to money? Those are some really rich experiences for people. And then kind of tracing that through your life, again, to look and see, where do I need to heal and renew what I believe about money? So developing that sense of awareness is really profound. And then really outlining, these are the limiting beliefs that I have through a financial autobiography and journaling and writing a conversation with money. You can really detail. Maybe you won't hit every single one of them, but you got to start somewhere. You can start with just one.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, really rewiring what your beliefs are. I love your work through mind movies. You could do a mind movie on money. You could you can have a series of affirmations. I like to sing mine. I sing my affirmations. So take your affirmations and turn them into a jingle and sing them in the shower or sing them when you drive.
I love that.
And then one of the other things that we do as a family is we created, what do we call it? Our FFF, our Financial Freedom Fund. Mm-hmm. And even if you start with just $25 or $50, it's money that you put into a fund that's never going to be spent. It will only be invested. Only use that money to make more money.
Right.
So those are some practical things. And just again, when you do that, when you take that action, be like, oh, well, I don't have any money to put into it. Right. So notice the vibe. Mm-hmm. That's a survival or a stress vibe versus, okay, I'm not sure where the money's going to come from to feed into this financial freedom account, but I commit, you tell the universe, I commit to putting, you know, $100 or $1,000 or $10,000, wherever you are financially, monthly, into my financial freedom fund, because I really appreciate that if I focus on investing rather than spending, I will grow my wealth. So putting money, starting wherever you can start versus, oh, I can't do that. Just being like, okay, I'm going to do that. It's such a different vibratory pattern. The latter is a vibration of expansiveness, right, possibility, expectation, excitement and enthusiasm. I'm doing this. And you know what happens? The universe steps up and is like, hey, we got a live one over here. Yeah. Let's pay attention. And things will start funneling into your life. Look, there's no one thing that's a magic bullet.
Right.
There's not one thing that you're going to do. It's this combination of the way you think, the way you talk, the way you feel, your relationship with your inner world, with the universe, with money. Transforming all of these things at the same time is exactly how I went from homeless to multiple 7 figures.
Yeah. Because what you're saying is that this is a way of being.
It's a way of being. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
And, you know, for me, because when I work with people as well, it's like, okay, we know that a lot of our beliefs, our programs, our behavior patterns, you know, we adopted or we really observed when we were younger, how our parents were. This is our money story. When you're talking about doing like a, you know, going through and going, here's my money biography, you can always go back and go, well, how were my parents with money? And what was my situation? And, you know, sometimes someone will just have one. I remember this one woman I worked with, she had one incident. Like, she remembers that there was money. They never had any money problems when she was young, and they, you know, middle-class family. But there was this one incident where she was younger and her father used to take her to the corner shop and he'd let her pick out one thing. Now, she one day went to the corner shop. She was not with her father and she just picked out her one thing and she came home and he's like, where did you get that? She goes, from the store. And then he, you know, smacked her, took her back to the store. She didn't realize that you paid money for these things, but
right,
that one incident, which, you know, it was kind of innocent, was what completely shaped you know, her thoughts about money. So, you know, when you're doing that recollection, sometimes it can be just event, and sometimes it can just be the environment. Like, I'm one of eight kids that grew up in a country town, and, you know, I wouldn't say that we were poor, but we definitely, you know, money was always a stress.
Yeah, yeah, same here. You know, I hesitate to say we were poor. I would say we were, you know, kind of lower middle class. You know, my mom really struggled. She was, you know, a blue collar worker, a telephone operator, and then, you know, worked at Kmart and, you know, a school bus driver. You know, she did what she could to put money together. Mm. And that was my experience, was it was just constantly stressful. It's like, oh, you know, we're just going to get by. We're just going to get by. And then I continued that. I mean, you could tell my story of, you know, going through college on a basketball scholarship plus working two jobs and then going to graduate school and working awake overnights. It was like, I'm going to make it, but I'm just going to get by.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I was married and we had the house and, you know, I started really studying about consciousness and really understanding my energy that I was able to make that transition. And I love it. You know, I don't worry about money any longer. And you'd be like, well, of course you don't worry about money. It's because you have multiple seven figures. Well, I don't make multiple seven figures. We have multiple seven figure assets. And I also have a special needs child who's very expensive. Oh my goodness. For his education and his needs, medical needs and non-traditional medical approach or, you know, healing approaches. Anyway, so we've all got our stories, you know, about where we are with money. So, you know, in fact, Natalie, my definition of financial freedom is never having to worry about money, whether you have any or not.
Right.
Because I've worked with, you know, I've literally had clients who are billionaires, coaching clients who are billionaires and many, many who are multimillionaires. And I can't say that they're like, oh, isn't this great about money? They have their own story, their own stress associated with money. So you think that like once you get to a certain point, you know, when I'm making $1 million a year, when I'm making $300,000 a year, whatever it is, then I'm going to feel. And that's not true.
No.
In fact, if you want to accelerate the flow of money into your life, act as if, cultivate the feeling of peace about money now, and you will bring more money into your life later.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you bring up a very important point that I'd like everyone You kind of went through that, but I want people to realize you can still be a billionaire and have limiting beliefs around money.
Absolutely.
So don't use them as an excuse.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. And I've seen it over and over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's the same. Like I would change the way that I would talk about money. I think belief and expectation was a big thing that changed, you know, because I did was kind of just getting by. I was emulating my parents' behavior in my 20s.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and I've always been a hard worker and I, you know, but now it's like what I do for work, I do it in a way that I enjoy it. I don't do it because I have to. I do it because I enjoy doing it. And when you were talking about a definition of financial freedom, my definition of financial freedom is being able to make decisions in my life and money never being a factor in my decision.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. So if I have an opportunity to go on a vacation, I don't have to go, have I got the money to pay for it? I don't even want to think about that. I'm just like, do I want to go or do I not?
Right. Exactly right. I love that. Yeah. And just a concrete example of how to use language differently and how to think differently. People often will say, oh, it's just, I can't afford that. I can't afford that. You know, you are creating an affirmation. Hmm. So instead of saying, I can't afford that, I encourage people to use the language, I'm not choosing to use my money that way right now.
Yeah.
I'm not choosing to spend my money that way right now. I'm not choosing to use my money that way right now. I'm not choosing to invest my money that way right now. And, you know, maybe be like, well, that's not true because I don't have the money. Well, if you think that the universe is full of money, everywhere on the planet, there is money. And if you think that I'm one with all of it, then it's all my money.
Yeah. And the other belief that I find is fairly common is that, and I had this myself, which is why I realize, is that if I have more money, then someone else is missing out or someone else goes without.
Right.
And that's that is a fallacy. Like you said, money is everywhere. Money is all around us, and they're always creating more money.
So, yeah.
Literally creating more money.
The thing about money is that numbers are infinite.
Yeah.
Numbers are infinite. So our relationship with money can literally have this, if you're not clear about it and conscious about your money, it can have this chronic sense of not being satisfied because numbers are infinite. So, maybe I used to think, oh, if I just made 100,000, then I would feel, or if I just made 1,000,000, then I would feel. Numbers are infinite. So you don't want your sense of satisfaction and fulfillment to be based on a number. You want to create your sense of satisfaction and fulfillment based on who you are and your belief about life and knowing yourself as the active co-creator of your life experience.
Yeah, because when you get more money, it's not like you turn into a terrible person or you become a bad person, because that's also a belief as well. If you're already a great person, it just enhances who you are. That's all that does. So I want to talk a little bit about the summit, because this, you know, if you are listening to this podcast and there's anything here that's kind of resonated with you, you're like, oh, I need to know more about this, then, you know, we invite you to join Jackie's Money Vibe Summit. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'd love to. So Natalie, first of all, thank you for being on it. So if you can't get enough of Natalie Ledwell, which I'm sure all of your listeners can't, you will get a private interview with Natalie and I, where I'm talking to her about money and vibration. And there's, 13, 14, 15 other speakers, teachers, coaches, and experts around this topic of money and vibration, money mindset. What does it take to lead an expansive, enthusiastic, energetic life about money? So the summit starts on May 13th. And let me just say a little bit about that. It starts with a live kickoff event that will feature some music, some meditation. Some of the speakers from the summit will be on live to give 10-minute talks. And also we'll have a live Q&A with our audience. So I will be facilitating and hosting that. That is on May 13th at 9 a.m. Pacific time, 12 noon Eastern time. And it's on Zoom. So once you register for it, you'll get the Zoom link. And then every day for the next week, you'll receive one or two interviews with some of our just incredible speakers. And it's, you know, I'm just so blessed to do this work because I get to meet and learn from these people. You'll hear people who are running seven-figure businesses, and who have an extraordinary relationship with money. So I can't encourage you all enough. You can register for it just by going to my website, jackiewoodside.com. And I think it's under events. You'll click on events and you'll see the Money Vibe Summit right there. So please join us. Natalie is just gave such a great interview. I listened to it two or three times already. There's just such nuggets of wisdom in each interview, each person's teaching. So I hope that you'll all hop on and join us.
So when you're getting all of these different pieces of information described differently, but in a way that maybe that you, like, you hear it on the fourth or the fifth time, and then finally the light bulb goes off, that's why you want to register for a summit like this.
It's exactly right. And I didn't mention, there are a number of free gifts just for registering. There's ebooks and courses and meditations. So there's all kinds of things that people will be able to begin diving into as soon as they register and get ready for the summit on the 13th. So I really, for me, I still feel like I'm still raising my money vibe. I'm still, quote unquote, dealing with my money issues or growing in consciousness. That's why we're here. We are here to grow in consciousness. So I've devoted my life, as you have, Natalie, to helping people understand that it's not about taking a course or doing a summit or having a coach. It's a lifestyle, it's a way of being and a way that you think, like, wow, have I learned everything about consciousness and money? Heck no. So I know that our listeners, and I've written a book on it and, taught courses on it and held summits on it. And I still know because numbers are infinite and consciousness is infinite and consciousness is continuing to expand on the planet, like, we are growing in consciousness as a human species. That's why I just will always have coaches, you know, listen to other speakers, continue to read books and take online classes and live retreats. I just came back from one.
Yeah.
Because this is why we're here. So I just really hope people will dive in. You know, maybe there's going to be that one or two things that this is it. This is the changing, the turning point for you, as I experienced, you know, 20 or so years ago. And I was like, oh, I'm the common denominator here. Maybe there's something I need to do differently for myself.
Absolutely. Well, Jackie, so much. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been absolutely a pleasure chatting with you. And we'll make sure that the link is in the show notes so you can register for that event. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And thanks again,
Jackie. Thanks so much, Natalie.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Not Over, Just Different. If you've been inspired by this episode and want to take the next step in your journey, be sure to check out our welcome pack. It's a great way to start your own personal development journey with the help of our amazing community. Next week, we'll be back with even more inspiring stories and practical advice for anyone ready to take on their next chapter in life, feeling fully empowered and full of passion for the journey ahead. And be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast by visiting notoverjustdifferent.com. Also, a 5-star rating and review makes a huge difference in helping us get the word out. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, keep living your best life.